Hi, it's Zach from Opus of a Machine. You're listening to the 9-8 podcast.
Back to the 9-8 podcast, the home of progressive and underground music here in Australia. My name is Alex Hogg, and every fortnight I'm joined by Dave Ellis. Hello, Dave.
G'day, g'day. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Oh, yeah, not too bad. You know, springtime in the middle of Sydney tends to play havoc on my sinuses, so...
Oh, you have all of my sympathies. It's been a big week, hasn't it?
It has been a massive week. I mean... What have we got to talk about? There's a new Neil Morse single. There's the new Dream Theater single. There's Haken, however you say their name. I'm always in confusion Haken. About that one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Haken.
You're probably right. So Haken have announced a tour. Nick Mason has announced Saucerful of Floyd, Night of the Prog, or whatever it is. I mean, talk about a big fortnight since we last spoke.
Haken and Touring,
yep.
Or Haken, or however you pronounce it. I will have to get a proper pronunciation for that someday.
At some point. Maybe we can interview the guys if they're here.
Oh, yeah. Well, they are playing in Sydney, of course.
Indeed.
So they'll be playing in Auckland, Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, and Adelaide. You'll notice that there's one city missing off that tour that they played the last time they were here.
They only decided to go halfway across the continent. They just looked at Perth.
There is a reason for that, and I have a note here from friend of the show, Josh Batten.
Hello, Josh. Again.
Apparently, hey. Hello. Apparently, the tour didn't do particularly well last time. None of the shows were sold out. So, unfortunately, the economics of touring, something that is a popular, I don't know about popular, but certainly a frequent topic on this show, the economics of touring. They will not be able to make it across to Perth, despite many, 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 many messages from Perth people who are not very happy about that, but them's the breaks.
I mean, that's just... It saddens me that it didn't sell out last time that they were here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd kind of expect that in, for example, Sydney, because we don't have an arts culture, we don't have an arts life in this city anymore. Thanks to numerous things we've spoken about on numerous sections of the podcast.
Spoken at length ad nauseum.
But it kind of surprises me that it didn't sell out in like Brisbane or Melbourne, because.
Yeah.
I mean, the prog scenes in Brisbane and Melbourne are massive. You've got some great artists coming out of there.
Absolutely.
Just odd, you know?
Yeah. So, and also as well, to give you an idea of what the sort of the tour schedule is like, they're playing 5 concerts in 5 days.
Jesus.
So, Auckland on the 5th of June, Brisbane on the 6th of June, Sydney on the 7th, Melbourne on the 8th, Adelaide on the 9th.
Jeez Louise.
Yes, one hell of a touring schedule, that one.
That's a very hectic touring schedule. They're going to be wrecked by the time they finish that.
Oh, yeah. Anathema had a similar recording schedule when they came through Australia last year, and they were absolutely destroyed by the end of it.
Oh, I wouldn't blame them. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, exactly.
That's absurd. That is absolutely... Especially you're coming so far.
Like, yeah, I suspect this is another one of those let's crowbar it in the middle of an Asian tour setups.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, anyway. Let's hope
get your tickets from davidroywilliams.com.
Yeah, DRW is getting a lot of prog stuff of late.
He's definitely trying. He's definitely trying to, you know, there's a lot of great prog bands out there that we speak about all the time. He's definitely trying to get lots of things happening. So, and
yeah,
this one has
great.
Come straight from, essentially straight from David Roy Williams himself. Please buy tickets. Please.
Yeah.
If you are a prog fan, I guarantee you, you know, we spoke about the last album a few weeks ago, their most recent album, Vector. It is a fantastic album. Get there. Buy tickets.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll be in Sydney, I assume.
Yeah.
I will do 100%. My absolute damnedest to try and get across to one of these shows. Which one? I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, it is such an imperative thing. We need to support. this is going to sound horrible, but you know, Australians on the whole are a little lazy. You know, and we just kind of expect that these things are just going to continually come along and come along and come along. And maybe that's part of the society that we're in nowadays. But I mean, these guys need support as well. We need to buy tickets to these shows. And realistically, I mean, I don't know where they're playing in Sydney. I'm going to assume it's probably the Metro Theatre. If it's the Metro, it's like $60. Like, seriously, have two less drinks on a Friday night when you go out and go and see these guys instead.
Real-time follow-up, it's the Factory Theatre.
Oh, Factory, okay. Factory's a bit of a bitch to get to, but it's a great room.
Whereabouts in Sydney is it? Is it like one of these places that's like, is it like sort of like London Stansted, where it's sort of, they think it's in London, but it's not really in London?
No. It's in Sydney, but it's in Marrickville, so it's in the inner west. Kind of a bit of a bitch to get to if you're taking public transport. So my recommendation is, if you're going to go to any show at all in the Factory Theatre, but if you're particularly if you're going to go to the Haken show, carpool, right? Get one guy, draws fucking straws for it, and get one guy who's going to be sober for the night, you know, or get your mate who's not drinking. Get your mum, get your dad to drop you off, right? And carpool. Mm-hmm. And then just get picked up at the end of the night, because Ola or whatever.
Yeah, Ola cabs is better than Uber, actually, because Ola cabs take a smaller percentage of money than Uber. I've spoken to enough bloody Uber drivers in my professional career to know the ins and outs. Uber take 27.5% off the drivers, and Ola cabs take 15. So
yes, I agree with you on that.
Unsponsored plug for Ola cabs.
I mean, I normally do the whole Ola thing instead of Uber, but the other day I had to do an Uber because literally I tried to book 6 Ola cabs and they were the wrong way. Couldn't get one. Nah. I booked an Uber. He was there in a minute.
Yep.
And I was in the middle of the
this
city.
This is the problem.
So, yeah.
The carpooling thing is definitely something that I've done, you know. I mean, because I live in one of the outer suburbs of Perth, you know, all the concerts essentially happen in the middle. For those of you who don't live in Perth, but, you know, maybe you're from Melbourne. Melbourne's a very similar setup. Everything happens in the middle of town and everybody lives in the outer.
Yep.
So same thing. We used to carpool into concerts.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing here.
Pay the outrageous price of parking and then drive home.
Well, what we normally do is Simo and I, if we go to a big show that's at, say, the Horden Pavilion or something like that, we go in together and we get a couple of people who are coming in with us. So the car's full, you know, and go in and we all just split the parking. So the parking might be $25, but split five ways, it's $5 each.
Exactly.
So who cares? You know, and this is kind of all the, you know, we throw in a bit of petrol money for petrol and all that sort of stuff as well, but, you know, much better way to do it. But, definitely get out, guys. As Hoggy said, go and see Haken. Go and support your local industry as well. I'm going to take this few seconds just to say, support your local acts, because they're the guys who wind up like Haken later on down the track. If they're doing well, you know, Polaris have done that recently, and you know, some of the bigger guys as well. You know, Voyager started off somewhere, you know, a little while ago.
Absolutely.
So get out there and see it.
And we constantly reference this on the show, but when we had Jim from Caligula's Horse, he mentioned that Australians seem to only want to go to the big shows. You know, we've got Slash coming here early next year, and we've got Phil Collins, we've got Roger Hodgson, we've got all these big names coming, but no one seems to go out for the smaller independent concerts.
That's right.
And that's a real shame. It's very different from both Dave and I have spent a bit of time in Europe. Mm-hmm. So we've seen how that sort of scene works. There is a lot of local, smaller concerts going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we need more of that here in this country.
Yeah, we really need people to get out and actually support local bands. It seems like in Australia, and I might be talking out my ass here, but it seems like here we are so obsessed with who are they. You know what I mean? Like, so we say, you know, oh, last night I went and saw Slash, or last night I went and saw Alter Bridge, or Stephen Wilson. Even Stephen Wilson's probably a little bit on the fringe. But if you said, oh, I went and saw Red Gazelle, or Fox Company, or Highview, or some of those guys. Just a quick shout out, by the way, to Dirt House Touring, by the way, who support all those guys. They'd go, who's that? Who's Red Gazelle? You know, then you've got to explain to these people, oh, it's this band. So I'm like, oh, okay. You know, it seems like, I don't know, I remember in Europe having conversations with people saying, I'm going to a gig tonight, I'm going to see some local act I hadn't heard of, you know. And then the following day, oh, how was the gig last night, man? It was really cool, actually. You know, this and that. Oh, that's all. I might go next time. You know what I mean? Whereas here, it's just like, oh, yeah. It's like, really?
Yeah, you don't get that.
Nah.
Or, at least in my case, you kind of like the weirdo who listens to, like, weirdo music.
That's
maybe that's just me and the industry that I happen to reside in professionally, but you know, anything that's not AC/DC is, like, weird, but anyway.
Oh, I get
skip
that.
Past that one.
No, I get that as well. I get that on occasions, you know. I hate AC/DC.
You're a music journalist. How the hell do you get that?
Because you'd be surprised what music journalism constitutes a lot of these days. It's less...
A lot of top 40 stuff.
It's, you know, oh, have you heard the new Taylor Swift album? No. Have you heard the new Wheeler Walker Jr. album? Who's that? Yeah, okay, cool. And these are people who've been doing it for 20 years.
Hey, thanks, bye.
You know? Anyway, sorry, we're digressing.
Yes, we are.
But Haken Tour, go on to...
Yes, Haken Tour. Tickets from davidroywilliams.com. Go, buy a ticket.
Yep, go and buy them.
We'll see you there.
Indeed.
Anyway, the new Neil Morse Band single... That's come out this week.
Oh,
have you had a chance to listen to it,
oh,
Dave?
Oh, I certainly have. It is awesome. It is awesome. I love Neil Morse. Even though he does a lot of the what I call God bothering music, but you know, I absolutely love everything this guy pretty well does, and it is a damn good track. It is a damn
absolutely.
Good track. I mean, when
you've
got the caliber of musos that he's got.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I've said it before. I think he does some of his better work when he does more the sort of kind of a more of the pop thing.
Yeah.
Like with the couple of the previous records. I mean, The Grand Experiment. That's a great song. It's a little bit more in the sort of a little bit, you know, less esoteric and a bit, you know, less weird than the stuff he does before, long songs and, you know, the stuff with Transatlantic as well. But
yeah.
I think he does some of his best work when he's still in the more pop direction. He's got a great because of a sense of melody and all that sort of stuff. And this is more sort of along those same sort of lines. The song is called Welcome to the World, off their forthcoming record, The Great Adventure, which will be out very shortly. Pre-orders have actually started already.
Yes.
So get your hands on that. Inevitably, there will be his usual remit is when he does his special records. There's usually a making of documentary, which are very, very interesting. I always enjoy watching those.
Yeah,
If it's not on the
Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say if it's not on the record, chances are it will probably come out sometime during through one of his Inner Circle releases. If you're not a member of his Inner Circle, I know that sounds terrible, but bear with me. If you're not a member of his Inner Circle, I highly recommend it, actually. I've been a member of his Inner Circle for quite a while. Mm. It's only about $10 a month, and every second month you will receive some extra, you know, demos from a record or a making of or sometimes live stuff.
Yeah.
He used to actually send out physical CDs. I have all of them on a bookshelf in this office here that I'm recording in.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't send out the physical releases anymore. Now it all comes a digital download.
Yeah.
So, and it's all good stuff. It's all good stuff.
Mm.
All good stuff. So if you love Neil Morse's stuff and you like everything he does, I strongly recommend signing up for his Inner Circle. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. I mean, yeah, I just really enjoyed the song. I'm just going to cut to a little snippet of the song here, about 30 seconds, so you guys can hear. If you haven't heard the song yet, you can hear at least a little snippet of what this is. So take a listen. So that was was the new Neil Moore single, at least a snippet of it. We can't play the whole thing because obviously we don't have the music rights to it, but definitely go and check it out. We'll leave you links in the show notes so you can go and have a listen. It's on all the good places that you generally find sort of everything.
Yeah, it's actually a really good music video on YouTube.
Yeah, it's really, really good music.
YouTube is the place. Neil Morse, as we've discussed before on the show, doesn't do Spotify.
Yep.
So, but he's on the song's on YouTube, so go and have a listen. And we'll put a link in the show notes so you can pre-order his new album.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, Nick Mason, Night of the Prog.
Yes.
We got a message about this about 3 minutes before we started recording. So, and by we, I mean Hoggy got the message and told me about it. So, Hoggy, what's it all about?
So, Nick Mason has been running around with a sort of solo band of his, Nick Mason's Saucer Full of Secrets, which is the name of the very first Pink Floyd record.
Yes.
And he's been touring around recently playing that music, the stuff off the first few Pink Floyd records, and he has just been booked to play Night of the Prog.
Woo! Which will be awesome. And by the way, I feel we should mention here, Nick Mason is the original drummer for Pink Floyd. Just in case people didn't know that.
Just in case people didn't think, I know, I've had this conversation many times where I say, oh yes, I went and saw Roger Waters, and they go, who's that?
Oh.
And I think, oh, for crying out loud, how do people not know the names of the members of Pink Floyd? I've had same conversations with people and go, oh, who's that? Oh, you know, he's in Metallica. So anyway, we'll skip past that.
Which one's he? So is he the ooh, going or the wagga wagga guy? Like, or the da da da? Which one is he?
So yes, he'll be turning around with the very early Pink Floyd stuff. What are the sort of, you know, psychedelic things?
Pretty well everything prior to Sid Barrett
probably
leaving.
I don't know exactly where. I think it may be like the first couple, maybe the first two records, possibly. Mm-hmm. Maybe some stuff of Adam Hartmother, I'm not sure. But I doubt he'll ever come to Australia. But if he does, don't expect him to play the big Pink Floyd hits. That ain't happening.
No.
It's strictly the early stuff.
You go and you see.
Which would be interesting.
See Roger Waters or David Gilmour for that stuff.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. If you want to see the big Pink Floyd hits, go watch them play.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big Trump predictions.
Yes, exactly. Which I can highly recommend, we've been talking about. Yeah, definitely go and see them if you get the chance.
Actually, speaking of, my fiance went to go and see Brit Floyd recently, and they had a bit in their show where they were playing Brain Damage.
Yep.
You know, the lunatic is on the grass. Yeah. And when they cut to that bit, they cut to a shot of Theresa May standing on the front lawn at number 10 or something, which I thought, well, you get an A for effort for that one. You know, you want to try but you don't want to just sort of copy what Roger's been doing, you know, Trump being a pig and all the rest of it.
Mm.
But, you know, you got to stick the boot in somewhere, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, she had, sorry, sideways. No, you know, she had a no confidence vote moved against her this morning, don't you?
Yeah, which failed.
Yeah, exactly. By 83 votes or 85 votes or something. Yeah. So, but I mean, she's the scapegoat for the whole.
Oh, yeah. She. As soon as David Cameron resigned, it was like the poison chalice of who was going to hold the can while they go through the Brexit negotiations.
Exactly, yeah.
David Cameron saw them. Yeah, David Cameron was no fool. He saw exactly which way this was going to go. Like, I'm out of here. See you later. Didn't. Well, he was a big Remainer anyway, so it wouldn't make sense for him to be, you know, okay, well, the will of the people, you know, we're going to follow through with this obviously terrible, terrible Brexit idea. Come at me, Brexiteers, you bastards. Mm. You fucked it for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. No worries.
I'll nail my colours to the mast on that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole thing was just an absolute. I think there was a recent video that Stephen Fry put out about Brexit and about all the fear-mongering and everything like that went along with it, and it was actually brilliant. We might link that, actually, in the show notes, because it is a really good video. So if you're not quite sure exactly what the whole Brexit thing's about, watch this video. It'll explain it perfectly.
I'm pretty sure most of the MPs in the bloody British government don't know what the Brexit thing is about. So I can't, I don't sort of, you know, all the people out there who are like, oh, you know, how's the Brexit thing and how's it going to affect the people? I don't even think they know, frankly.
No. Well, it's untested waters,
Is it's going to completely destroy touring for British-based bands.
Absolutely.
King Crimson have been rather vocal about that lately.
And considering most of the pressing that happens doesn't happen in England either. Like the whole music industry, pressing of CDs and all that sort of stuff doesn't happen there. It happens on mainland Europe. So, you know, CDs are going to be fucked. You know, vinyl is going to be fucked.
If they crash out with no deal, it's going to cause mayhem.
Yeah.
They're already like stockpiling extra medical provisions and stuff in hospitals just in case the whole thing hits the fan if they crash out of the EU with no deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So
anyway, we've digressed again.
Yes, indeed. But Nick Mason, if he's around your area, go and see him. He'll be a lot of fun.
Yes. At the risk of sounding like a horrible, horrible bastard, if you are seriously considering going to Night at the Prog, I would strongly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's not for everybody. It is rather expensive, I will admit. But you know, it's a 4-day festival, so
yeah.
Go nuts.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, look at 2-day festivals here in Australia. I mean, Download was, how much is Download? $250 or something for a single day? So by comparison of Australia, probably cheap.
Well, speaking of festivals, we've got Progfest coming up next month.
Oh, yes, we do. And it's going to
be spoken about Progfest on the show, and I think we should.
I think we absolutely should. In actual fact, later in the episode, we're going to finally release an interview with one of the guys from Opus of the Machine who's actually playing at Progfest. Now, I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago when Hoggy was out of town, and this will be sort of the first of our Progfest interviews. We are going to line a couple others up. A couple of other, you know, people who are playing at Progfest. We're going to have a chat to them and see what is it's all about. But you'll hear that interview a little bit later. But Progfest itself I went to it last year. This year, the last one. And if you aren't planning on going, suck up the $35 or whatever it is and go, because the lineup this year is fucking massive. You've got The Ocean, they've come over from Germany. Monuments from the UK. Sky Harbor, they're from the US, I think, or maybe
I believe it. Part of India? The band is from India and part of the band is from America. Yeah. It's a very interesting setup.
Circles, Chaos Divine, City of Souls from New Zealand. Toe Hider, who are
fuck yeah,
amazing.
Toe Hider.
James Norbert Ivani, who I've seen a couple of times. I actually know the guys in the band. Go and at least support them because they're incredible. Glass Ocean, Opus of the Machine. And then depending where you are, if you go to Melbourne, Sydney or Brisbane, there are specific bands that are playing there as well. So here in Sydney, we've got Low, Hemina, Red Bee, Anubis, Seams, Hashashian, Sevsons, Shanghai, Numidia, SNVFF. And then in Melbourne and Brisbane, you've got other ones as well. So you've got Aerials and, you know, Magenta Voyeur, Theron, The Stranger in Brisbane, Melbourne, you've got Bear the Mammoth, you know, Khan, Ovinivory, Modality, you know.
Mushroom Giant.
Oh, Mushroom Giant,
I've seen a bunch of these bands before. I've had a chance to see Anubis and Hashashin before. Oh. I've seen Bear the Mammoth as well. They're all great bands, mm-hmm. but frankly, for the admission price alone, Chaos Divine and Toe Hider, frankly, I'd pay the money just to watch those two.
So
frankly,
I went when I saw Carnival in England when I was over there. I actually saw them in Nottingham. Monuments supported them. Monuments were. I mean, they were monumental, but they were unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Tickets are $56, people. It's not that. I mean, for a festival, that lineup, you know, all these bands, that lineup, $56 is not a lot of money, frankly.
And
there's a VIP meet and greet for $135. Not sure what you get for your VIP meet and greet experience.
I'm not sure either. I would say from memory last year, the VIP meet and greet was it allowed you to do like a signing with the main band, like the big bands that were coming over.
Oh, okay. Like a Be Prog My Friend type setup where you got a special pass and you got an, you got a like a special line that you could go into to get a poster signed or something.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm just looking at the website here and it says meet and greet with each artist, a photo with each artist on the fan zone phone or camera, three items signed by each artist as a limited edition. Progfest A3 thick card poster, two Progfest guitar picks, and official commemorative Progfest VIP laminate. So I'm guessing that's like a neck thingo, lanyard, and priority access to the venue. Now, I don't know what they're going to do this year, but last time when I was there, literally all the bands stand around in the Factory Theatre, because that's where it was, having beers
this year as well,
and all that sort of stuff. So maybe they'll change it this year, I'm not sure, but last year that's how I met the guys from Osaka Punch, Awesome Wells, Voyager, Seams, Genetics, all those guys. I met them all literally with a beer in my hand having a chat to them. And I don't know if it's going to be like that in Brisbane or in Melbourne. I'd say it was, because Melbourne's going to be the Croxton. I've never been to the Valley Drive-In, although the Bright Side in
Brisbane.
Never been there.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, it is worth noting as well that it is on Saturday the 26th of January, which is Australia Day, in Melbourne. It is on 27th of January in Sydney, which is the day the Triple J Hottest 100 is on. So if you really want to listen to the Hottest 100, sorry, you're going to have to miss it out. And Monday, January 28th, because that's actually going to be a public holiday. So in Brisbane. So highly recommend it.
I'm sure. And if you don't want to listen to the Triple J Hottest 100, I'm sure that Triple M will do their, whatever they called the one last year, Ozfest.
Oh, the one where they just basically play
The Boo Hippies playlist or something, where it was just Midnight Oil and AC/DC back to back or something.
I was about to say, where they just play every Akadaka album back to back.
Well, you got to throw in some Cold Chisel as well. Oh. You got to get Cold Chisel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. K-San, but that's it.
Only maybe Working Class Man
Working Class Man, K-San, and maybe Bow River. That one seems to be coming up now. It was always my favorite song of theirs, actually. Yeah. It's a great song.
It is.
You know, but anyway.
I think we've sort of nailed our colours to the mast on what we think of that particular playlist.
Yes,
but anyway.
Yes. But yeah, Progfest 2019.
We'll skip past that one.
If you are in one of the three major cities, please go, because it is a phenomenal day. I will be at the Sydney one. I will be at the Sydney one running around with my microphone and doing interviewing people and taking photos and doing all that stuff that I generally do. And in actual fact, my girlfriend will be there as well. She's assisting me on the day, which is going to be really, really awesome. So we've done quite a bit of bellowing about how you should definitely go out and check out Progfest, obviously, in the last couple of minutes. But I want to put in a quick interview here that I did with one of the guys from Opus of a Machine. This is actually one of the members of Caligula's Horse, who left the band to start his own thing. And I caught up with him a couple of weeks ago when Hoggy was out of town. So this is my interview. Enjoy.
I'm currently sat in a strange alleyway, behind the Oxford Arts Factory in Sydney, and I'm talking with my main man here, Zach. Zach, tell us where you're from.
Hi, my name's Zach. I'm from a band called Opus of the Machine. We're playing here tonight at Oxford Arts Factory. Super stoked to be here. It's the first time we're in Sydney, yeah. Which is awesome. I am the guitar player, kind of one of the main songwriters, producer, manager, all of that business. It's great to be here.
Fantastic. And it's great to be here sitting yakking with yourself
Thank you very much.
It's absolutely awesome. Welcome to Sydney.
Thank you.
I'm sure it's everything that people said it wasn't, and everything says
I've been
it was.
I've been to Sydney plenty of times, but
I apologize.
First time in this band, so it'll be interesting. It'll be good.
Absolutely, and I assume it's a great room in there.
Yeah,
it's a great vibe.
It's a great venue. I adore this venue. I think I played it a few years ago with another project, and it was great.
Mm, yeah. Fantastic. No, it is a bit of a cold night though, unfortunately. We've struck some crappy weather of late, so unfortunately.
Right. I'm used to it, man. I used to live out in the sticks in northern New South Wales. I'm used to the cold. I love it.
Where did you grow up?
Oh, you probably would never hear, would never heard of it.
Try
it's called a tiny little town called Warriolda.
Yes.
You have Warriolda? Heard of that.
Yep.
My God.
Absolutely.
You would be one of the first.
Yeah.
And so I was pretty much born there, along with the singer and guitarist Mitchell Legg too, from the band. So that's basically it's actually interesting that you asked me that, because you know, kind of ties into where this sort of new album is kind of went for us. And yeah, we basically were born there, grew up there, and was kind of never really lived the city life until we could finish school.
Mm. So you say this is where the album sort of almost was a genesis of, was in Warriolda. What do you mean by that?
Well, Mitchell and I were writing partners to some extent, basically like once we met. We were all kind of like, even in high school, you know, jamming around with riffs and all of that stuff. We never really kind of found our sound for many years later, but we're always kind of a musical partnership for a long time. And I think we're talking about the newest album. It's kind of like this album is sort of like our ode to that sort of time in our life and that sort of area in which we grew up in, you know. So it's a partnership that runs deep, definitely grown quite a bit. But yeah, it's something that's really kind of like shaped who we are. I mean, very fundamental.
Yeah, they say a lot of people from the country are a little bit more down to earth than people from the city.
Kind of, yeah, yeah. I think for me, people from the country are less into the whole. I mean, it sounds like a bit of a cliche, but less into the whole sort of race of getting ahead. I think people that kind of live in the country or sort of move out to the country are people that are wanting something that is away from this whole sort of tundra of experience of doing things, of working, of sort of trying to make something of yourself. And not to say that that's kind of something that, like, they're giving up. It's more sort of just that people want simplicity in their life. I think a lot of people thrive on that. It's fantastic. Give it a try sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, speaking of, you know, growing up in the country and then moving to the city a little bit later, I mean, what was the journey like with you guys in the band? I mean, you guys have obviously known each other for quite some time, and you've been writing music together for quite some time. Mm. The journey, particularly about this album, because it seems to have gotten some pretty good praise. And by the way, congratulations, it is out today.
Much. Yes.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to hearing. I haven't even listened to it yet, so super keen to hear it myself.
It's streaming on all the main places, and yeah,
yep.
Go for it.
I definitely will. I think it's going to be on the rotation for a bit. So I suppose, what was the journey like creating that album?
There was quite a lot of time between our first album and this one, more time than I kind of wished, to be honest. And so in this album sort of came together pretty much in the last year and a half. And what we wanted to write, like, initially was, first of all, we didn't really kind of, like, we consciously didn't have a huge amount of direction going into it. We wanted to just write songs that kind of came out, you know. And after a while, we started to realize that the nexus of this project was really about making something that was really an ode to where we grew up and an ode to our personal experience. And in that sense, the album is probably the most personal and emotional album we've probably ever written. Or at least, you know, this collection of songs is probably the closest to my heart. I think it's more sort of like we wanted to capture not really the essence of where we grew up, but more sort of like pay homage to that and really recognize that as something that made us who we are, you know, and something that we can be proud of, you know, for many years. But like living in the bush and wanting to move to the city and hating this kind of dead end lifestyle where you couldn't do anything, I really kind of took it for granted, you know. So for me, it's really. This album was really kind of like, you know, a dedication to that entire place that we grew up, you know, and that place that sort of, for better or worse, shaped who we are.
Mm-hmm. And you guys have toured around for a little while with this band, mm-hmm. Not so much with this album. Mm-hmm. This will obviously be the first tour you guys have done with the album itself, at least.
Yeah.
What's been the most surprising place for you to play?
Well, this is actually the first show on the tour. We're coming off the back of a relatively small hiatus. I'm not sure if you know, but I was actually in the headline band for many years.
Yes.
And so basically when that kind of started to kick into gear, that was right after we released Simulacra, and we had sort of done a few shows and a bit of touring just around regionally, and we were really kind of hoping to push it forward, but, you know, the demands of this kind of ever-growing machine that was Caligula's Horse kind of forced me to put that on a hiatus. And I always kind of have felt in the back of my mind that I wanted to return to this, that I felt like this is something that I really, really kind of had close to my heart, you know. So after leaving Caligula's Horse, it only made sense that I would go back to this. As a result, I mean, it's the response has been fantastic. We're able to play outside of our hometown, which is fantastic. So we're able to reach more audiences because of that, and so I suppose I didn't really answer your question just then. We did play. I'll add a small anecdote. We did play a tiny show years ago in Toowoomba, which I don't know if you've heard of that. It's about hour and a half outside of Brisbane, and it was rough, but it was like we sold a bunch of merch, and everybody, like, people were up on tables jumping around. There was not one of those fake encores, but like a genuine encore. Like, we only had a certain amount of material because we only had one album. It was the only other song that we didn't play was this 10-minute track, which is the last track on Simulacra Tuatara. And we pretty much were forced back on stage by, you know, even towards the end of it, the sound guy was in the crowd going, "Encore, encore." So we did it, and it was very, very rough.
Yeah, yeah.
But we did, and it was incredible because it was like, you know, there was a small room, a small amount of people, but everybody was just into it because they're just starving for that type of music, I think.
Yeah, I think it is interesting when you get smaller venues, and you see these bands that are either massive or brilliant bands, either have a massive sound and they play a tiny little venue.
Exactly.
And they just blow the roof off the place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can remember seeing Carnival in Nottingham in England.
Yeah.
Room of about 200 people, I think.
No way.
And it was awesome.
Yeah,
They wiped the floor with everyone. It was just great.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is certainly something there when you've got a small room and you've got so many people all interested in the same thing.
Exactly. And that, you know, at that point, you know, spectacle doesn't come into it, or sort of like grandeur doesn't come into it. Yeah. It's really just like, once you get down to that bare bones of just like, we're in a room making some sounds for some people, that's when it gets, it becomes really, really special, and
100%.
Really sort of personal experience for a lot of people.
Yeah. So now you guys were in Caligula's Horse. You were in Caligula's Horse for a little while, or quite a while, actually.
Yeah.
Earlier I had a chat with Jim from Caligula's Horse as well, you probably know, and he actually said something I thought that was really, really cool to hear, and that was that he's super proud of you guys and what you guys are doing.
Oh, wow.
So I imagine the feeling's mutual?
Absolutely. I mean, like, I look back on Caligula's Horse, and I mean, I was in that band from the inception, and to see it become what it has become is unbelievable. You know, I have just as much pride as in that band as what I did when I first joined it, and the journey that I went on, and the people that I met, and the things that I got to do because of that band, I would never ever take back. It's incredible to look back on that, and even just look at Caligula's Horse of what they are now, and really, really, I really be overwhelmed at how proud I am of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose what's your biggest inspiration? I've read a couple of interviews where you talk about inspiration for the albums and so on and so forth. But what is your biggest inspiration? What's your drive? Put it in another more wanky way, I suppose. What's your why, you know?
Oh, wow. that is a hard question, man. I mean, like, I'm one of those guys, like, I don't particularly listen to the music that I play. I don't, like, to some extent, yes. Like, I'm very, very aware of the bands that kind of exist within our scene. For me, the thing that drives me is something that I haven't really nailed down yet, to be perfectly honest. I have been in the darkest places I've ever been when it comes to music, down to the point where I've many times considered giving up music altogether. And I simply can't. I simply do not have the drive to just put down an instrument and say, I'm not going to write a song, or I'm not going to want to play a gig, or I'm not going to want to get into a room with three or four other people and just make some sounds. Like I think I realized that basically when I was about 12, 13 years old and started picking up a guitar. Basically, as soon as I picked up a guitar, I started writing. I started writing things or making up things on the spot, you know. And from then, I could not help myself. So the nexus of what that sort of like, what kind of drives me, I haven't really nailed down yet.
Right.
I'll let you know when I find that out.
That'd be good. Yeah. Send me a quick email. What's your guilty music pleasure?
Oh, jeez. Oh, I'm going to embarrass myself here, aren't I?
That's right. I'll tell you what. I'll go first.
Okay.
As long as you love me, Backstreet Boys.
Wow. Okay. I feel so much better. This is actually even funnier because, like, in my deep, like, during high school, I was kind of like a Metallica or Die sort of guy. I was just like metal or nothing. And it was like, I remember when Riot from Paramore came out.
Oh,
and it blew up. Sorry, am I?
No, it's fine. Yeah. We'll bleep it out.
It friggin' blew my mind. It was amazing. And even their album after that, Brand New Eyes, was fantastic.
Yeah.
I love a lot of hip hop. I wouldn't call that a guilty pleasure because there's some artists that I genuinely think is one of my favorite artists of all time. Mm-hmm. Kendrick Lamar, Run the Jewels. Mm-hmm. They're fantastic. That whole sort of side, Paramore side, again, was a very guilty pleasure at a very sensitive time. but now it's really all kinds of other things I love. I like a little old sort of jazz pop, like Steely Dan.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I love all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things that's, Sam Vallon, for example, opened my eyes to a lot of that music. Mm-hmm. And stuff that was like, oh my God, I can actually like enjoy and like not only enjoy the music, but fall in love with artists that don't exist within the music I play.
Yeah.
And now it's pretty much all of that. Another big, probably Bon Iver, he's one of my favorite artists of all time. His latest album is absolutely incredible. I've tried to not embarrass myself enough here.
That's all right. I've taken the cake for that. It's not a problem. The guys in the podcast are not going to let me live that one down, I guarantee you.
You do you, man.
Exactly. Are we going to see any solo stuff come from yourself anytime soon? Because you are a weapon of a guitarist.
Thank you very much.
As a guitarist myself, when you see other guitarists doing crazy stuff, whether or not it's someone like Clapton or Bonamassa or through to the Shredheads, you know, Petrucci and Hendrix, Vi and all those guys.
Yeah.
You can really appreciate it.
Yeah,
so
exactly,
are we going to see something like that from yourself?
You know, I've had it always in the back of my mind. Instrumental music, for me, I've always had a bit of a chip on my shoulder about. I've always kind of had this idea of just like, you know, it doesn't make sense without vocals. And I like hearing guys like James Norwood and Benny and Pliny and all of these fantastic artists that I Built the Sky, for example, all these artists that are coming out of Australia. It's like I have a new lease on how I see instrumental music and the value of instrumental music.
Mm.
So it's always been on the cards. I've always thought about it, but I'm a one band man. I've got one focus, and if I can't focus on that fully, I think it will suffer. So eventually, maybe down the line when Opus sort of slows down, maybe if we reach a point where we want to feel like doing something a little bit more differently creatively, I would totally be open for that.
And so on that, I suppose on that, were you talking about people opening your eyes to different types of music and so on and so forth? Something we do on the 9-8 podcast is another guy who runs it with me, Hoggy, and he and I recommend an album to each other every week.
Okay.
And we listen to the listeners as well, and they write us emails and tell us they loved it or they hated it or question why we even recommended it sometimes. So I'd like you to do that to me.
Okay.
What's an album that I should listen to this week?
I mentioned him before, but Bon Iver's latest album, 22 Million, came out in 2016, maybe, late 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. It's one of the greatest albums I've ever heard in my life. Never thought, you know, you always think that, like, these best albums you hear in your life are only ones that you hear when you're young and you have this nostalgic sort of idea over it. This is incredible. I can't quite describe it without sort of maybe doing it an injustice. Mm-hmm. In that it's kind of like it's like folk music fed through synthesizers and very, very experimental, weird electronic music.
Cool.
But it has a raw passion throughout the entire album that I simply can't describe. It's something that, like, the most rawest music you could possibly, where it's nothing but a guy and a guitar and some chords, and it's the production of it is so totally left of field, but it's totally relevant to what he's trying to say. It's a weird album, but it's a fantastic album.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I'm blown away by that.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. One last question, I promise, and then I'll let you go and warm up for the show tonight. Tell us something we don't know.
Tell you something you don't know. Good Lord, you've stumped me. I have about the band, about...
Doesn't matter.
Something you don't know. I'm the worst vegetarian in the world.
What?
Yes.
There you go. So you were hoeing into a burger before the show?
Well,
or?
No, I go through phases, and it might be like once a week or once a month where I'm just like, I need meat. I don't need it, but I really want it. But I consider myself ethically a vegetarian, but I am the worst vegetarian in the world. I don't know whether that's at all interesting. Probably there's plenty of vegetarians that'll listen to this podcast and probably hate me now, so I'm sorry.
I don't know. I think it's great to learn more about the artists that we listen to. So yeah, Zach, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no worries, and thanks for sitting in a cold, dark, seedy alley.
It's beautiful. I love this. Sydney has a particular breeze that is just fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's the one that comes off the harbour.
It's that sort of like sharp coastal breeze.
Whistles around the empty streets on a Saturday night. Yeah, it's great.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much.
No worries at all. Thank you.
Look, guys, please go and buy tickets. Definitely go and see it. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. Another band that I think people are probably going to buy a lot of tickets to next year is probably Nickelback. The reason I mention it is because there was a hilarious video that was released. I think Mixdown had the link to it, but it was released as part of the, advertisement, you know, marketing campaign for the Once Upon a Deadpool movie that's coming up. And it's Deadpool defending Nickelback. And it is really funny. So if you don't know what the story's about, I mean, if you've seen Deadpool, you know the original show. This is a PG-13 version of Deadpool. And basically,
okay. It's not the R-rated movie that came out before.
Correct, yeah. And it's done like, I think it's The Princess Bride, where there's the guy reading the story to the kid that's in bed. And it's all about the, you know, the princess and the da-da-da and all that sort of stuff. I think it's The Princess Bride. I can never remember. But they actually got the kid from the movie to the actual Fred Savage, who's the grandson from The Princess Bride, who was in the bed during that movie, and his grandfather was telling him the story about the prince and the person and all that. So,
I don't know who you're talking about now. Yep.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a piss take on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the kid says, the grandson of Fred Savage says to Deadpool, after Deadpool says to him, you know, you're going to be in a Marvel movie. Like, what's your problem, you know? And he says, you're Marvel licensed by Fox. It's kind of like if the Beatles were produced by Nickelback. It's music, but it sucks. Anyway, then Deadpool says,
Nickelback.
Deadpool turns to the camera, because in the show, if you haven't heard it or seen it, listeners, he does a lot of fourth wall breaking and talks to the audience and all that. And he says, I've had it with all this Nickelback hating. 50 million albums worldwide, 11th best-selling musical act of all time, Billboard's most successful rock group of the last decade, 6 Grammy notifications, 12 Juno Awards, those count. 6 Billboard Music Awards, 2 American Music Awards, 1 People's Choice Award, Canadian, and a partridge in a fucking pear tree. And the whole thing's really funny, right? And then it ends with them holding hands and seeing "This Is How You Remind Me." It's hilarious. We'll put a link in the show notes. It's so funny. It's really, really, I mean, Ryan Reynolds makes anything funny, but, you know, very, very, very funny.
For those of you who are actually interested in Nickelback touring, they will be playing February 13, 15, and 16 in Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne. So, nuts. They're not coming to Perth either.
The economics of touring strikes again. It's just terrible, isn't it?
Actually, we say this tongue-in-cheek, but damn it, it's for Nickelback, for crying out loud. I remember, this was a few years ago now, but I remember when Coldplay came to Australia and they didn't play in Perth.
Yep.
This is Coldplay, for crying out loud. They got a petition of 50,000 people to sign, and then they played a show in Perth at the old Burswood Dome.
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, we say, ooh, the economics of touring, but it affects big bands too, you know.
It does, 100%. Yeah. And this is why I'm saying go out and support the local bands, the smaller bands, because they'll be the bigger bands one day. You know?
Exactly. The other thing as well I can pretty well guarantee is that I'm pretty sure Feb 14, who's playing here? I think someone else is actually playing in Perth on February the 14th.
Right.
So I don't think they can get access to the Perth Arena.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think that's the problem.
Oh, possibly. I mean, they'll sell out. They'll be playing ANZ Stadium. Oh, sorry, ANZ Stadium. They'll be playing
Kudos Bank Arena.
Kudos Bank Arena, as it's now known. It used to be Allphones back in the day.
They're playing Rod Laver Arena. They're playing the Entertainment Centre in Brisbane. They'll sell. They're playing an arena tour. This is not a, you know.
No, it's Nickelback.
It's not a theatre tour or a pub tour or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they're doing well. I think, Hoggy, we need to talk about another single.
Yes,
this came out this week.
Yeah, the big elephant in the room here is that, and of course, as anybody who probably listens to this podcast is aware, Dream Theater have released the lead single from their new album.
Yes, they have, and it's fucking amazing.
Yes, it is. We'll put a link in the show notes to all the fun places. If for some bizarre reason you've got your head in under, you've had your head and buried in the sand for the last couple of weeks and have missed it.
Yep.
The single "Untethered Angel" is out.
Oh, and what a single! I mean, that ending. In actual fact, I'm going to play a little bit of that right now. I'm just going to play the final little bit where it's got the what I am affectionately calling the ball-tearing riff at the end. So take a listen to this, guys.
I don't think we need to say any more, do we?
That is how you write an outro to a song. I mean, so last time on the podcast, I raised the question, are Dream Theater still relevant?
I think we can answer that question with a resounding yes.
I might be eating my words a little bit from that, because holy shit, it is unbelievable. Like, what a so good.
So good
You guys need to go and listen to it. Just go and stream it, because they have announced a tour, not here in Australia, but obviously they've got the tour in North America. We want them to bring it here, so we need to do everything that we possibly can.
There's a tour through Europe as well. They're touring through the summer in Europe.
Yep.
I think I teased this on the last show that I was looking at buying tickets to the show in Bulgaria. I now do have tickets to the show in Bulgaria.
Yes. Yep.
And also as well, the backstage passes as well.
Yes. Well, we don't talk about those.
No, we don't talk about those. But one thing that we can talk about, and this is something that is very recent, and we're very, very excited about. I have been given personal access from Inside Out Music to the entire Dream Theater album.
Yep. What is it, a month and a half early? 2 months, yes. 2.5 months early, actually, I'm sorry.
There is a very good reason for this.
Yes.
Various members of the fan clubs around the world have been handed exclusive access to this record.
Mm-hmm.
The head of Inside Out Music, Thomas Waber, big fan of Dream Theater. He was at the front row of the Ronnie Scott's gig in London in 1995.
Shit.
That was the special fans-only show that you had to be like a super fan to get a ticket for.
Yeah, that's right.
Because Ronnie Scott's is a really small club. And this was before Inside Out Music was even a thing. This is, he was a big fan. He was the front row for that.
Yeah, fuck.
Wow. Now, in light of the single being released, there have been various people who've been making some rather unsavory comments about the Dream Theater single. Personally, I don't know why. I think they're mad. And as a result, they're all a bit nervous about this record, that people aren't going to like it, and it's just going to be another pile-on like it was with The Astonishing, which we may or may not have added to, but anyway.
I think we did a pretty fair job. I think we were pretty fair.
I think we were as well. I think we did, we there were things we liked about it, there were things we didn't like about it, but, you know, that's how it works. It can't just be sort of unabashed praise all the way up and down. That's, So, in light of that, members of the fan club have been handed access to this record.
Yes.
Now, we are not going to share the whole thing with people. Please don't ask.
No, don't
ask.
The
answer's no.
We can't.
The answer's no.
The reality is we can't. It is a legal contract.
Yes.
And they watermarked the tracks. I still don't know how they do that. I'm guessing it's maybe some little piece of audio somewhere or something, but I don't
know.
The fact is we can't give it out to anyone. Realistically, we can't show anyone. Like, it is what it is.
Yes, we can't share any of the, I'd love to be able to play a snippet of it now. I'd love to be able to put one in. We can't. We're not allowed to.
Yep.
You're just going to have to take our word for it.
Yep.
What I am going to say, what we are allowed to say about the record, is that I think, personally, it is fantastic.
Yep.
We were talking before about, you know, sometimes Dream Theater get a bit sort of flabby with some of the stuff. There's, like, you know, the big sprawling middle sections and things.
Mm-hmm.
I think this record definitely has a more direct feel to it.
Yep.
All the elements that we all know and all love about Dream Theater, you know, the light, the heavy, the progressive elements, they're all still there, but it's more of a direct feel. Now, I saw some comments on the internet because the track listing is out and the timings of the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
There are no tracks that are longer than 10 minutes.
Yep.
I think it might be a 9-minute track in there somewhere, but there are no tracks. And I saw some rather terrible comments of people saying, you know, it's not progressive, it's not long songs, they're doing short stuff. It's all still there. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
But I think the other thing as well, there was a – because I saw the same little troll debate on Facebook. People were saying, oh, this is stupid, there's no epics on it, da 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 da. This album's going to be shit. And then I saw someone post the track listing for When Dream and Day Unite, Images and Words, Awake, and I think it was what one was it?
I think it was just those three, I think.
Might have been right. I think it was just those three. And all the timings beside them. And it's all very similar. You know, and they are hailed as some of the best Dream Theater, well, two of them are hailed as some of the best Dream Theater albums they've ever done. So there is also a limited edition version that will be coming out. It's
not about limited edition, actually. There is a limited edition. The limited edition vinyl version.
Yeah, and that will come in like the big box set and all that sort of stuff. Very, very reminiscent of the Black Clouds and Silver Linings box set, which also has the stem tracks for Untethered Angel. So if you are a tone chaser or you're a tone freak, and let's be honest, if you're listening to Dream Theater, you're probably a muso, and you want to sort of do some crazy like mixing and all that sort of stuff as well, you will be able to do that. It's also got special artwork in it. It's got all the vinyls, and it has a bonus track, which I have on good authority is very good. And
the good authority in this case is me.
Exactly. I have it on very good authority that this album is a ball terror. And there's stuff in this album that is absolutely incredible. It is basically a return to form. Hoggy actually said to me, it basically sounds like Train of Thought meets Awake with Falling into Infinity slotted in. That's what it sounds like. And to me, that's perfect, because that's my three favorite Dream Theater albums all wrapped up in a little bow. So, you know, I mean, if that's how it's going to be, then I am all for this album.
Absolutely. The one thing I would say is if the bonus track in particular is fantastic. I urge everybody out there, buy the special edition. The standard jewel case that will be coming out in the record stores will not have that track on there. Buy the special edition.
Yep.
Buy it.
Buy it.
Do it.
Absolutely buy it. Yes. Unfortunately, we can't be more specific than that. We're under strict instructions that we can't specifically talk about this track or that track or what's happened in this one or anything like that. So all we've got is vagueness for you. I'm sorry, but please go and buy the album because it is going to be a ball terror.
Absolutely. When the album is actually released, we will probably end up dedicating an entire episode to it.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
That's definitely on the cards.
Yep, absolutely. And in actual fact, I'm going to drag an old face in for that episode. Simo will be joining us for that episode, and we will finally have all three of us crowded around, which will be great. So he's going to come in and do that. And in actual fact, we might be doing a reaction video with him. So stay on the lookout for that, as much as people hate them. But oh well.
I think the reaction videos you can do semi-ironically anyway.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. So what does that bring us up to, Hoggy? I think that brings us up to our new segment, which is Band Watch.
Yes. So we prefaced this on the last show that if there were any bands out there that you wanted us to listen to or check out, send them in. So keep them coming in, people. We love to hear new music.
Absolutely.
I've got two bands here that are from Serbia.
Hey.
Yeah. One that is called Fish in Oil and one that is called, this is where my Serbian breaks down, of course. Iot, I think so, E-Y-O-T. We'll put a link to both of these in the show notes.
Absolutely.
The album from Iot is called Innate. It was released last year.
Yep.
And Fish in Oil have released a new album this year. I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. I'm going to put a link in the show notes. Someone who's good at Serbian can tell me how to pronounce it because I haven't got a clue.
That won't be me because I am terrible at pronouncing Serbian. So, and from...
Yeah, people out there who, you know, I've made mention, of course, that my fiancé is Bulgarian. People out there who think that I might be able to speak Bulgarian, I can't.
Yeah.
I've tried. I can't. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a bit of a hard language to speak. So
don't even get me started. all the pronunciations are all in the wrong spot. All the accents are in different places.
Yeah.
I'm terrible with languages anyway. The joys of a monolingual country.
Hey! Indeed, it's fantastic. And also embarrassing when you go over to Europe and realize that everyone just speaks three languages because that's normal.
Yes. Two at a bare minimum, three on a good day.
Yeah, exactly. So Fish and Oil and Iot from you. Two bands that I think everyone should definitely go and check out from my end. One I've mentioned before, which is Red Gazelle. They are local boys from Sydney. Doing really, really good things at the moment. They actually just supported Skillet recently in the last couple of weeks. And then a couple of days later, we're playing at a very small, maybe 100, 120 people venue. And the place is packed and it was really, really good. But the boys from that band definitely deserve everything they've got because they put on one hell of a good show. And the other band that I wanted to mention are guys from Canberra called Highview. Both these guys are on the same record box. Touring company, I don't know what you'd call it, marketing agency, Dirt House. They're called Dirt House. Really cool agency. And both of these guys are on their register and their roster. So definitely go and check those guys out, Red Gazelle and Highview. We will put links in the show notes where you can check those dudes out.
Absolutely. Speaking of local recording labels and stuff, I was going to mention this a bit later in the show, but I'll bring it forward and mention it now. next week, well, next time we record, we will be discussing top fives for 2018. And an album that I was going to mention that both Dave and I will probably discuss, because many of these bands on this particular album we've discussed before, Arthur's Catharsis. Big fan of Arthur's Catharsis, have released their end of year 2018 sampler disc that they do at the end of every year. There are something like 27 or 28 different bands featured on this particular sampler disc. We'll put a link in the show notes so people can go and have a listen to that. There are many, 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 many Australian bands featured on that, some of which we've already discussed. I believe we've discussed Ashashin before, and the instrumental adjacent or adjective, or we've discussed those guys before. They're both on this particular record, and there are many, many others on there. So we're going to put a link in the show notes to that. We'll be talking about that one next week, so there's a little teaser for you all. Go out there and listen to that one if you are in the market and looking for new music. There's plenty of it there.
Absolutely. And the other thing to do as well is, and this is something that Spotify implemented. I think a couple of years ago, they've got like your 2018, sort of your year in review kind of thing, and you can go through and check out all your top 100 that you played. And this year, they also do like a B-side, so things that are completely against what you normally listen to.
Ooh, so, I didn't know about this one. I knew about the top 100 thing. I didn't know about that one. That's interesting. I'd like to check that out.
It's a really cool idea. And I had some really interesting, recommendations from Ol Spudify.
I'm going to pull up mine now and see what I've got. There must be something in here. Where do I find this thing?
So
I got the top 2018 songs. Which, yes, there's pretty much all the things.
If you go, and I'll tell the listeners how to get there as well. If you go to search, but don't double click on it so, you know, you actually wind up searching for something, it'll come up with your top genres and, you know, all things. You scroll down and it'll say, you know, your year in review or whatever it is there. It'll say your top songs. 2018 Wrapped comes up. And then there's your top tracks 2018, and next to it there's B-side. And you tap on that. It might be called something different because my friend's in German, so I'm translating from German.
Okay. I've got Spotify up in the web player because I don't have the app on my phone because I can't get the app to work on my phone properly. So I've got it up on the web player.
Okay.
So if it's your top song
on your web player, if you go into Browse on the top left-hand side there, and scroll down, you'll get to the point where it says genres and moods, and then Wrapped, and then there's top songs 2018 and Taste Breakers. So it's called Taste Breakers in the English form.
I gotcha.
So for me,
what have I got?
I've got some really cool stuff in here. I've got Mr. Parati, Thank You Scientist, Ugress, Nephew, Prince, believe it or not, Mike Shinoda, Ghost Note. Caprizza. Like, there's some really cool stuff in here that I wouldn't normally listen to, and it's a really good way just to expand what you listen to. So
The Discover Weekly playlist, I've got some good stuff out of there.
Absolutely. Whether you agree with what Spotify does with its payment system and all that sort of stuff, it's a pretty strong platform.
Nice. We've talked about this before, that, you know, Spotify, I did see a hilarious, you know, the artists I follow have had the sort of your 2018, and they've described like how many million plays they've got and all that sort of thing. And there was a joke one out there that had something along the lines of, I think it was like, you know, how many streams Spotify had, how much money they made, and then the, you know, dollars per stream, you know, 0.000357 cents per stream or something.
So
I saw that and I thought that was quite funny. I think actually Mike Mills from Toehider might have shared that. I think that was him. It certainly sounds like something he'd do.
I mean, that's, you know, it is what it is.
Indeed.
But definitely go and check that out. It's a good little way to sort of get some stuff sorted. So for some new music, if you're feeling that way inclined over the break.
Absolutely. Give it a go.
So I think we need to go on to our music reviews, our album reviews, which we didn't do last week because it was such a long episode.
Yes.
You gave to me an album called Mercury Fountain by the Physics House Band.
I'm very interested to hear what you thought of this. What did you think?
It took me a couple of listens. It is not... So there's no specific song that I could pull out of it and say that one was better than the other, because it's basically one big predicate run-on across the entire thing. I enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed listening to it because it was extremely complex and strange, and it was basically like, you know, what you'd kind of expect Jimi Hendrix to have sounded like mid-acid trip. And... You know, I enjoyed it. Like, I genuinely enjoyed it. Would I necessarily go back and listen to it again, you know, and recommend it to people and all that? Probably not. But I'm probably not – I wouldn't turn it off if it came on. But the problem is you've got to sit down and listen to the entire thing. So
yeah,
it's hard to chop and change little bits out of it. You couldn't just pick a song off and put it in a playlist, you know what I mean? You sort of got to sit down and dedicate the time to it.
Yeah.
Which is fine. So, I mean, you know, a thumb up from me. Definitely worth a listen, especially if you're into a little bit more experimental types of music and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Probably definitely not a something lot of jam you want to put band. On in the definitely, car. You know?
Yeah, definitely a lot of jam band sort of thing. I mean, the way I discovered this band is that they were opening for Sleep Makes Waves in London when I saw them play.
Yeah, right.
And their set was essentially just 40 minutes of them... You know, they'd start playing a song and then they'd go off into a sort of noodly sort of thing, and then the song would finish, and that was 40 minutes of that.
Yeah.
So it was really, really, really good. They're a very young band, so probably no older than 20 years old each.
Yeah.
A trio from England. So
you're right.
Pretty young guys. So keep an eye on them and see where they go.
It's hard to play a live show and just be able to read each other so you know exactly where everyone's going to go.
Yeah.
So,
They've obviously got some. They've obviously got some musical, you know, formal music training behind them, because they're, you know, they're very, very talented musicians, and they're very, very good at what they do. You know, just keyboard, guitar, bass, drums, and the bass player also plays keyboard sometimes. Yeah. Well, there was a keyboard on stage. How much of it is just like pads and whatever? But definitely one to keep an eye on if you're interested in that kind of music.
Absolutely.
So, the album that you gave to me was Polaris, The Mortal Coil.
Yes, which I need to make a little bit of a shout out here. Last week was the ARIA Awards here in Australia. These guys were nominated for Heavy Metal Album of the Year.
Ooh, The Mortal Coil was.
Yes. It's their debut album, and they got nominated.
Damn.
Up with the likes of Parkway Drive, you know, massive honour. All the guys were there at the Arias. They didn't win, unfortunately.
Who did win? I didn't.
Parkway Drive got it.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I think is probably just a symptom of, you know, basically the entire judging panel being old white men who've heard of Parkway, so they'll just give their vote to that.
If the ARIAs are anything like the Oscars, it's probably had something to do with record label plugging and promoting and whatnot.
Potentially.
Because I'm assuming everybody knows who is on the, like, all the people in the music industry sort of know who's on the judging panel. So they probably get lobbied to directly, like they do in the Oscars.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm not sure how it works. So they were nominated with DZ Death Rays, King Parrot, Parkway Drive, and West the Barton, and Polaris. So they were the five nominations. And obviously the winner was...
Parkway Drive. At least it didn't go to an Australian Idol winner, or, you know, the X Factor winner, or whatever the fancy pop show talent thing is these days.
Yeah, that's true.
The Voice, is it? Maybe The Voice? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of all of
they're
those.
All they're all completely interchangeable, those TV shows, at the end of the day. I mean, the Voice like to make a big thing about how it is about The Voice, but just be honest, it's all about talent and, you know, maybe for the first bit it's about The Voice, but then it's really about, you know, how many white teeth can the guy show when he smiles?
That's right.
How blonde his hair is. How blonde his hair is, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
I have a real problem with that. The album itself, I mean, this is the thing I always have with the heavy metal stuff. Do I sit down at home and listen to this kind of heavy metal? No. But I enjoyed it. It's good fun. I'd certainly, if they were playing live, I would definitely go and see them. I do enjoy this style of music more as a live thing than an album thing, if that makes any sense.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, and I saw them on this on their last tour. I actually shot them on their last tour, and
yeah,
incredible
off,
live.
I missed that.
Incredible live. Just amazing.
So if they ever come around again and play live, I'll definitely definitely check them out.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only way they'll probably make it over here is opening for somebody, I imagine.
Oh, the last one was a headline tour.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. These guys are doing really well. They've had three back-to-back sold-out tours in Australia this year. But they were supported by Thornhill, Gideon, and The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, that's a damn good. They played the Capitol, which is basically the only venue left in Perth to play these days, which is annoying.
Yeah, but I mean,
there's two clubs. There's the Capitol, which is the big one at the front, and then around the back there's it's called Amplifier, which is the smaller club at the back.
Yeah, it's
that's
the same
where
as
I saw,
the
that's
Metro
where I saw Polyphia.
Sorry, the,
yeah,
yeah, the Metro.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I saw Polyphia play. They play the Amplifier around the back, but when Voyager play, they play the Capitol in the front. I mean, there's also the Rosemount, but I've bitched enough about the Rosemount on this show not to do that again.
It's true, yeah. So what do you reckon? Thumb up?
Yeah, I'll give it a thumbs up.
Stick hand out and wave it, or thumbs up? Thumbs up, cool.
No, I'll give it a thumbs up. It's a good album. It's just not one that I would listen to at home, but if they were touring, if they came around to tour again, I'd definitely go and see them play.
Yeah, absolutely.
That music I enjoy watching live rather than sitting down listening to the album. It's not necessarily the sort of thing I sit down and listen to at home, but that's just me.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
It is something far better suited to watching live. So we've got two thumbs up from our album reviews this week. Obviously mine saying the Physics House Band, you should definitely check them out. And Hoggy saying you should check out The Mortal Coil and go and see Polaris when they tour live, because they are fantastic. What have you got for me this fortnight?
So this is an album recommendation that actually came to me from Jacko Jacksic, the singer and guitarist from King Crimson, when I had an opportunity to have a little Q&A with him in Poland. I asked him, my usual standard question when I'm talking to musicians is, what are you listening to? What do you listen to when you're at home? He said he doesn't actually listen to that much music at home because he does a lot of album mixes. He joked that he usually gets the call when Stephen Wilson's too busy. Yeah. But he said that there were a couple of bands that he was listening to and thought were pretty good. One of them is a band called I Am the Manic Whale. You familiar with these guys?
I'm not. It's a cool name, though.
It is a very cool name. So the album that I'm going to recommend that you listen to is their debut album called Everything Beautiful in Time.
Okay, I will take
it's on
a
all
listen
the,
to that.
It's on all the big platforms. Yeah. It's on all the big platforms. It's on Spotify. It's on Bandcamp.
Okay. I've actually got to go and
listening to a lot of albums
today, so I will definitely check it out today.
Excellent. It's not a particularly long album. It's only about 6 or 7 songs on it. So, but I've been listening to it lately, and I think it's a pretty good one.
All right.
So there we go. I Am the Manic Whale, Everything Beautiful in Time. What have you got for me, Dave?
Well, you know how much I love country music.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give you an album by a guy called Wheeler Walker Jr. It is called WW3, so kind of like World War III, only obviously it stands for Wheeler Walker. This is his third album that he's put out. It was released about 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to tell you anything. Just go and listen to it.
All right. Is it on Spotify? I'm assuming it is.
Yeah, it's on all the major streaming areas and so on and so forth. This guy, it's got to be... I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. You can just listen to it and tell me what you think at the end of it.
Okay, fair enough.
Perfect.
Oh, interesting. He posted something on Spotify not too long ago saying that Spotify had banned him from their playlists.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. You'll find out why.
Okay. Fair enough. Next time on the show, we will be discussing our top fives for the year.
Yep.
Top five albums of the year, top five live concerts for the year, and top five things that we're looking forward to for 2019.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm also interested in compiling a fan list of this. So if you have... If you have top five albums, you know, your top five albums of the year, send them to us. We'll put a link in the show notes where you can contact us. You can send them to us via email. You can get in touch with us on our Facebook page. You can also tweet them at us. We do have a Twitter account. I don't really use Twitter because I don't like Twitter, but we have a Twitter account. So if you want to tweet them to us, tweet them.
Please do.
You can find us at 98FM.
Yep. Beautiful. Please do that. Or send us an email. Or, you know, I mean, half of you know you can contact us through the fan club, the Dream Theater Fan Club of Australia and New Zealand. Please, feel free to do so. So,
yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, that's what we're going to be talking about next week, is all our top fives. And yeah, we just really thank you for sticking with us all year. It has been really good, actually. Lots of fun.
Yeah, it's been great fun. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the next...
Certainly learning a hell of a lot more new music through this podcast than I probably ever have in years.
Yeah,
through
absolutely.
All the recommendations and things that people send us. And now through Spotify algorithms, even more.
Yeah, and we'd just like to take this for a very quick second to say we wish you all a very Merry Christmas wherever you are in the world, because the next time you guys hear from us, it will be a brand new year. So we hope that everything is going to be, great, and you keep to your New Year resolutions, whether that's to, lose weight or get better at guitar or, start your own podcast or engage more actively with the ones you're already listening to. Whatever it is and wherever you are, wish you a great, great holiday season and a very Merry Christmas, and thank you so very much for listening to us dribble on for the last however many months talking about all things prog.
As I've said before, Dave, it's not waffling, it's an amazing amount of content.
That's
I think that about wraps it up for this week. Thank you all very much for listening to us in 2018, and we'll see you all in 2019.
We'll see you then.
Catch you later.